Blog Talk Radio.
Socks. Good evening. Welcome to the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour, Tuesday, September 25th, home of the first place New York Football Giants and New York Jets. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. Some bad news in Jetsville and I don't know. It's changed the whole direction, the dimension of the season, as far as I'm concerned. But there's no going back. There's no crying. We must press forward.
You must succeed where others have failed, as you like to say.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot of succeeding when the New York Jets is concerned. But I shall remain faithful to my team. I like some other bozos I see bouncing around the internet.
As you should. You are a loyal Jet fan, if nothing else. Jets with that thrilling edge of your seat, back and forth, up and down the field, aerial display, offense, defense, special teams. An instant classic on Sunday afternoon, 23-20. They pull it out with the fumble Ruski, the Statue of Liberty, the hook and ladder, coaching record.
They had everything going in that.
Mark Sanchez throws for 700 yards in the first half. Shit. Tim Tebow running fake punts. That game had everything. The Jets
Big
out of Miami.
Yes, and, I mean, you know, it's always full of, you know, it's funny how they try to get away from the clown show, but they pull out every ridiculous gadget play in the inventing new gadget plays as they go along. But that was a four-hour foray into football futility. Look at that alliteration there.
It was
absolutely brutal to watch.
It wasn't a football game. It was a mini series.
Like Rich Man, Poor Man, North of the South, or whatever those mini series. Yeah, you're right. You're right, and it was the big thing. You come away with the Jets win, okay, and basically the kicker there for the Dolphins got the Super Choke Award. Jets emerged victorious. Okay, I'll take the win, but the Darrelle Revis loss for the season is like it couldn't be worse than him going down. Especially, not only is he the best defensive player on the team, he's the best player overall on the team.
Right.
So really, it really kills the Jets. And with Kyle Wilson back there replacing him, I'm not too confident about the Jets in a lot of respects. If they had a good offense, I could say, but their offense is off. Off. I don't know, understand what is going on over there. I said it on the Facebook. It's not the ground and pound. It's the grunt and punt. I mean, they brought Powell in to spot Sean Green, who's been so ineffective, and Powell did pretty well. I think he may get more touches against San Francisco, but Jets really couldn't be getting San Francisco at a more difficult time now because San Francisco's down for blood and the Jets are, no, the chum is in the water and here comes the San Francisco Sharks. They're ready to see. So anyway, so that was the Jet thing. It was full of a lot of, you know, like you said, a lot of gadgetry. Sanchez, I don't know. I mean, the guy is, you know, this is, what are we, 4 years in here? I think the jury's out. This guy is not going to take them anywhere. I mean, he's had some playoff success, but I feel like he's declining. Now, you want to point the finger at so many different things. You know, the wide receivers can't get separation. No Dustin Keller. The offensive line ain't what it used to be. All these things, but, you know, when he does have the opportunity to hit a receiver, it's high, it's low, and when he does hit the receiver, it's, you know, Stephen Hill's got the dropsies. So it's just a whole combination of things. Inability to run the ball, it just doesn't bode well for the Jets, I think, going forward. You know, and Sanchez, you know, it's going to come to a point where I actually want to see Tebow in there. And I'm not one of these guys that thinks Tebow's anything, but they got to get something going. They got to get this the other team's defense thinking about something, you know, because they're not moving the ball against teams that really, you know, you can. I know they had the big Bills game, but after that, it's been nothing. So that's my take on it so far.
So far, the Tebow experience, a wild catastrophe.
Yeah, no, it's, and you know, I thought, you know, Santonio Holmes actually played pretty well last week and was calming down. You know how I'm always on him about his attitude, and then he started pulling his head towards the end of the game, something like that. You know, but the refereeing, with the refereeing being so bad, the Jets could actually get two wins. You know, like, just they normally would lose because the officiating is so bad. Sometimes the best team doesn't win. So, you got they got that replacement.
Yeah. So, oof. New boy.
That was something. You're right, old boy. That was probably the biggest fiasco last night that I've ever witnessed. I don't know how. I mean, you give me your take on it.
One of the first things I thought of, and I said this to you on the phone, I said it in the Facebook group, I said it on Twitter, I said it to my wife last night. I said, if that happens to the Giants like that, I'd be waist deep in a stroke. I'd be out of my mind, enraged. If it happened to my team, if it happened to the Giants or the Rangers, forget it. I'd be out of my mind. I don't know how John Gross
would be walking
upright. Yeah, I'd have burned my house down. I'd have rioted in my own house. Me and the dog.
If that happened at Jet Life Stadium while the Giants were there playing a home game.
Here we go.
Those officiating, the refs, the back, the judge, their cars would be pelted with broken glass. They would have their eyes. I mean, every game is so important, and these guys are blowing it. I mean, just blowing it.
Inexcusable. Inexcusable. I mean, if, you know, I think most of us that are here are old school wrestling fans. That's all that was WWF.
Or NHL.
That was worse than NHL. I mean, if you had never watched a game of football in your life, you would have thought that was a joke. You would have thought that was all some big production. You know, like Dave Hefner or whatever his name was, the referee back in the WWF old days, all of a sudden he's got a twin brother. You know, it was theatrics. That's what that was. You got one referee waving the ball, incomplete pass, touchback, game over.
Right,
and the other one,
right in front of the other guy, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, the other guy who had the bad angle of the play comes running and says touchdown, and the game's over. You're going to be kidding me. And then you got this goofball Tate, whatever his name is, from the Seahawks.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate Golden Graham's standing up on the bench pumping his chest like they accomplished something.
Larry
you
Tate.
Stole it. Yeah, Larry Tate. Larry. You stole it. You got to win. You didn't deserve. They should have been running for the locker room, not the Packers.
Yeah. How did they come? I mean, I've seen this play on review about 30 times now. I don't know how they come up with coincidental possession or, simultaneous possession on this play. The guy, Jennings, had the ball. First of all, Larry Tate, Golden Tate, he pushed off. There should have been a pass interference on him in the first place.
They
didn't call that.
Right.
Yeah, and I really thought Jennings had possession of the ball, at least enough to say it's Green Bay. You tried your Hail Mary, guess what? That's it.
Right. No, he got his hands on the ball, brought it into his chest, hit the ground, and the Seahawks receiver just kind of put his hands on it, and that was a touchdown.
Yeah. It's going to come out that guy's like a Seahawk fan or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, and then that's the other thing. Did you look at the Post or the Daily News today?
No.
One of these nincom fucking poops, I'll use my word again, that refereed the game last night was fired by the Lingerie Football League. He was fired because they didn't think he was qualified enough.
Wow.
Let me say that again. The Lingerie Football League did not think he was qualified enough to officiate women in teddies. Women who bought their uniforms at Fredericks of Hollywood, this man was not qualified to officiate one of their football games. And this is what the NFL is putting out there for a game between two good teams in the NFC on a Monday night on ESPN.
This is true. Come on, make it.
It's on the front page at NY Post Online. It's the front page.
Wow.
Right on the home page. Not qualified. Bimbos, lingerie, not qualified. I think they used a Nerf in that league.
Wow. The qualifications. So, yeah, it's... And Gruden was going nuts. He goes, this is tragic. It was great. I loved it. They're trying to hold back, but then at the end, it's just... the word disgrace is going to come up. And Gruden's right. And when he said that these players work so hard and there's so many jobs on the line, this loss counts, it's a loss. And, I'm not saying Greenberg's coach is going to get fired over this, but, it's going to count. It's on his resume. And these stunads, these goofballs, one guy is saying, touchback, it's Green Bay ball. And like you said, the other guy comes running in from an impossible angle and touchdown.
Right. He comes running in from Tacoma.
Then they review the thing. Who do they have? I mean, do they have Mr. Magoo reviewing these things in the booth? Because
they can't review the simultaneous catch is not reviewable. So, essentially, they were review. There was nothing to review.
Then why did he... Because then the refs came out, and then Pete Carroll, like the goof that he is, he's standing right next to the refs. And it's like, it says, the play on the field stands, it's a touchdown. And like Pete Carroll's like, yeah, like right next to the refs. What was that? So you can't review the simultaneous catch, but...
Not according to what I heard. Pete Carroll's Bobby Valentine. He's the Bobby Valentine of football coaches.
He belongs in college. He doesn't belong in the pros.
I'll never forget when he was with the Jets making the choke signal at Miami. That will forever be my lasting memory of Pete Carroll. That was the fake spike game, wasn't it? Was that the same game?
It probably was. You have to remind me.
Sorry. Hey, you brought up Pete Carroll.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying I think he's a little bush. And again, going back to the Jets, I wanted to make the point I was telling Jim, is that since Dan Marino's left, let's face it, Miami has been less than stellar. The only team that could find a way to lose better than the Jets is Miami. So I knew the Jets were in that game to the end because they're horrible. And so I was right in that respect. Although I did go 0-3 on my picks last week.
Yeah,
but in that respect, if you would have watched that game with me live, all 4 hours of it,
I needed a shave by the time that game was over.
And it was so bad. It was the players were ineffective. The officiating was ineffective. It was just so. I don't know. I should just postpone the game next time and just flip a coin at midfield, and whoever wins that wins the game. I'll put a screw that lead in.
I forget. What the hell was I going to... Oh, well, I said to you, I don't know if I've seen a team go out of their way to find more ways to lose a football game than Miami did on Sunday. I mean, you got two missed field goals, you got penalties, you got the head coach icing his field goal block team. Can we stop with the icing of the kicker already? How many times has that actually worked?
None.
How many times in history does that actually work? I wish they would make the rule that when the kicking team is ready, you got to call that timeout by 5 seconds on the play clock, or you don't get it. I mean, enough with it. The guy he ruined his chance at winning the game. He iced his own field goal unit. I mean, it's so ridiculous. They wait until the last second, standing there next to the referee with their hands all set to make a tee. Oh, watch how close I get. Watch, the ball is going to almost be in the air, and I'm going to make my little timeout signal. Enough.
I'm a genius.
Yeah,
look how smart I am.
I invented this. Yeah, you're real Curly Lambeau there, Philbin.
Wow. The guy runs right up the middle and blocks it.
Right. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
They're bad. God, they're bad.
The whole brand, any NFL brand, is a big hit. And they don't care because the ratings are hotter than ever. Everybody goes to the game. In a way, Jim, this is a sick part of me that kind of likes it. Not so much the bad officiating, but the fact that they let... Now, there's two sides of the coin with this officiating. One, it's very ticky-tack. They're calling everything. And then sometimes, they're not calling anything.
Right. Penalties last night, I think?
Yeah.
26, 27 penalties?
When they're not calling anything and I'm getting to see people like actually be physical in football again, I'm like, yeah, this is how it used to be.
Right.
You know? Like that pushing off. Listen, dude, it's a man's game. If the guy pushes you off, hey, you're too skinny. Oh, whatever.
Put your big boy pants on.
Put your big boy pants on. Like my boy Matt Chow did. Do you see that hit?
Yeah.
Lee, Jesus. He lost a piece of his ear.
Yep. And took one play off.
That's a man's sport. That guy got suspended one game, too. What's his name? Green? Was it Green? But I'm not sure. I mean, people were getting jacked up all... You see that Jermichael Finley... in the Green Bay game, he elbowed a guy as he was coming off the line. It was freaking vicious. It wasn't called, I don't think, either. This is football. But if you're going to call the pass interference calls, horrible.
Yeah, they have no idea what constitutes pass interference. None.
I don't think they know about the 5-yard rule.
Nope.
You know what? They have no concept of that. you can jam a guy within 5 yards, and then after that, and they got no concept of that rule. So it is a hindrance, you know, and I feel bad for if you may have a riot if it's in one of these. If this continues and the playoff berths are on the line, and you're playing in Green Bay or New Jersey or you know anywhere. I think they're gonna jump the field and beat down these guys. I mean, somebody calls them
Oakland, Philly.
You know.
See, I think things would get. I don't think things would get violent in New York or even Green Bay. Philly and Oakland place those two places would be the first two places that came to mind.
Oh, wow, yeah, I've been to both, and yeah, they're very scary places just to go.
Right. Right.
You know, see a football game there. But speaking of Philly, 2-1 Giants will be visiting Philadelphia on Sunday night, right?
Sunday night, yeah, on NBC again, second time already this year, which I hate because I hate waiting all day for them to play. But coming off a complete dismantling of the Carolina Panthers.
No doubt about that.
I was not, you heard me last week on the show, I was not feeling very confident going into that game. 3 days rest, they were banged up, and they shocked the hell out of me. It seems like the less optimistic I am about them, the better they are. Completely dismantled Carolina.
They had a lot of minuses going into that game. Like you said, the three-day rest they had. They're playing in Carolina. It's their first road game, right? Carolina, first big-time game for Cam Newton on national TV. I think this guy's going to come out, you know. They don't have no Ahmad Bradshaw. They have no Knicks. You know, there's a lot of things right against the Giants that game. And I'll tell you, plain and simple, from my vantage point, and I follow Carolina because I have Cam Newton on my team, so I've watched two previous games. The Giants played like an NFL football team that is well coached, and they came to play. Carolina looked like they were in a scrimmage. Now, I'm sure the Giants, the way they played, had a lot to do with that. But I felt Carolina did not look into that, was not into that game at all. At all. And who's the guy? Brown, the backup running back, you guys?
Downtown Andre Brown?
Downtown. Big Bad Andre. Big Bad. what was it? Big Bad Andre Brown. Andre Brown. Looked fantastic. Looked better than Bradshaw. Now I'm worried about Bradshaw. He may lose his job to this guy. Because this guy was actually, you know, finding holes, making big yardage. And if the Giants can control the ball at all on the ground, they're going to be tough to beat because they do have such an arsenal, you know, up top with the wide receivers.
And not only that, but like we talked about a week or two ago, I mean, here you got no Hakeem Nicks and no Bradshaw, and Ramsey Barden has 9 catches for 138 yards. Finally showing the potential that the Giants, you know, we're gambling on. And, you know, the Giants, it was an article in one of the papers, very patient organization. You know, they don't panic when it comes to waiting. For, you know, they don't give up easily on their draft picks. And here's a guy, Barden, I think this is his third or fourth year with the team. I can't remember which now off the top of my head. But, you know, every year he'd come into camp and perform well, but never couldn't get it together in the games, and he'd be hurt. And now finally he gets his chance, and he comes through.
Yeah, and that's really, I really think that's the, you know, that's something that the New York Jets are sorely lacking, is they have that kind of depth in the organization, or just, now listen, who knows if Barden or Brown are ever going to do what they did that night. But when they had to do it, they stepped into it, and they got the job done. And basically, I mean, they really performed way above expectations, and that's the mark of a good team, and that's why the Giants, and I really, Carolina, I think, just wasn't ready. They weren't ready to play football. That's the way I looked at it. And the Giants, they're, you know, listen, they're a well-coached team, they're disciplined, they came to play some NFL football, and Carolina, I don't think, really had any idea what they were getting into. You know, I mean, I don't know. I felt like the Giants dominated from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I really thought that the numbers might not look like it. And I know he threw for 500-plus yards the week before. I really thought the last week against Carolina was one of the best games I've seen Eli Manning play. He's always battled inconsistency at times, and I think he always will. And even in games, I mean, like they saw the Tampa Bay game, he throws three picks in the first half, and the second half he's lights out. But from the opening kickoff to the end of the game last Thursday night, he was in a zone. He missed one pass to Bennett because Bennett stopped running. I mean, there weren't many passes that were off the mark. It's rare when he is in a zone an entire game, but that's the way he was Thursday night. He could do no wrong last Thursday night, and I really think that was one of the best games I've seen him play. Only one touchdown, you know, 288 yards, but he was 27 to 35. Like I said, did throw to one touchdown, got the ball to Barden 9 times, Cruz 6 times, Bennett, who is quickly becoming one of his favorite targets. 3 games, 3 touchdowns now for the Black Unicorn, as he calls himself. Calls himself the Black Unicorn. Now, did you watch the whole Giants game last Thursday night?
Yes.
So, 23-0 Giants, right? Giants are dominating the game. Cam Newton runs in a touchdown. You see him do his ridiculous little Superman dance?
Stupid. Again, you're
getting
creamed. You're being dominated.
Ass handed to you. And then Steve Smith in the fourth quarter, he's getting up and celebrating all his garbage time catches, padding his stats. They weren't ready to play. They were just ready to dance. I've never seen a team do more preening and posing while they're getting their ass handed to them, as I did from Carolina last week.
I'll never be able to understand it. You will never be able to understand it. Any rational human being will not be understanding. But I don't understand. The thing I don't get, it's supposed to be a team game. Maybe they want to see that they want to be on ESPN. Maybe that's it. But anybody watching that game go, when you lose, act like a loser. You score your touchdown, get back in there. Especially you're a quarterback. I know these guys are young and they're exuberant and all that. But you're getting creamed. I don't see Eli Manning doing any dances. I don't see Victor Cruz doing. Oh, wait a minute. But no.
I got news for you. I wasn't real happy with Victor Cruz doing his little salsa dance against Tampa Bay when the Giants were down by a touchdown either. But
that was ridiculous, too.
But
let me go into this. Let me give you the Jet point.
Let me finish my sentence.
All right, go ahead.
I will only grant him an exemption in that circumstance. Because that was a tribute to his grandmother who had just died, and she's the one that taught him to dance. Other than that, I don't ever want to see him dancing in the end zone when they're losing. I don't want to see anybody posing. I don't want to see anybody flexing. I don't want to see your muscles. I don't want to see a helicopter dance. I don't want to see the Watusi, the mashed potato. I don't want to see the foxtrot, the Lindy. None of it.
What kind of ridiculous? This is what we're talking about here. That this guy is doing the salsa in memory of his grandmother. Let's just boil it down to it. This is retarded. I mean, who cares? I mean, like that's some way of honoring his grandmother. She's like up in heaven going, look, Victor's doing a salsa. I mean, come on. Is this what's wrong with this society? That this is a tribute to a dead relative.
Well,
come on.
Let,
Stop I was insulted. It's showboating. I don't get Jack Giant any team.
Doesn't Rex Ryan shoot his mouth off and tell everybody what a great coach he is in honor of his dead father?
Probably. But that's when the game's going on. He can dance all he wants. He can dance with the stars. He can dance on Antonio's show there. He can dance on Dick Clark. He can dance anywhere.
But he's not even dead. I thought that would be the first thing you'd say. But he's not even dead. You didn't even pick up on that.
So, yeah, well, that's right. But he isn't dead. I don't know. Who knows? You can keep up with this guy. I had this debate on the Facebook. Listen, Rex Ryan is a blowhard, okay? You know it. I know it. The Jets fans know it. But I don't care.
Bob Dole knows it.
What?
Bob Dole knows it.
Bob Dole knows it.
You know it. I know it. American people know it.
American people know it. But he finally got the Jets off some kind of attention. And whether it's negative or positive, a lot of times, listen, when you don't win the Super Bowl and you say you're going to win the Super Bowl, you look like an ass. But he's my ass. So I'm backing that ass till he's gone.
Nice.
There are so many
things wrong with your last two sentences, I don't even know where to begin.
Of course, people do go both ways.
I mean, it's just, listen, I understand he gets people rattled. He rattles their cages, and Tom Coughlin, the master, the genius, is so low-spoken. I'm glad Tom Coughlin is soft-spoken, and he wins. Okay, happy for you. The Jets have been, nobody cared about the Jets. This was a giant town until Rex Ryan came. Jets started winning a little, and then all the Giant fans got upset.
We're not upset. That's what get out of here. We just start this again. We're not upset.
They are.
Well,
they are so jealous that the Jets.
We are so jealous of your green curtains that you hang over our Super Bowl trophies.
It has nothing to do with winning. It has nothing. The fact that the Jets get any coverage and get more hype than the Giants do, even though the Giants accomplish more. They have accomplished the pinnacle of the sport, and everybody's talking about Tebow. And,
who cares?
Hard Knocks, everybody loved the Jets. This is the hype. Look at these bad boys. This and that. And Giants fans, us, we're winning the Super Bowl. But how come that there's another article on who it's going to be, Tebow or Sanchez? This is the problem. I'm not saying you. Like I said, it's a certain demographic of fan that can't stand it. That the Jets continually get coverage when the Giants achieve 10 times more than the Jets do on the field.
Cannot
convince me otherwise. It's impossible.
I could care less.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're playing
a game.
So you win, and that's fine. But when the Jets win, I see a lot of Giant haters coming on. Well, we got the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Who's that, Baba Booey?
I don't know.
More balls.
Because there's another guy in our Facebook group. He's supposed to be a Jet fan. He got more vitriol in him. He's got to be a Giant fan. This guy, Steve Cotrollo, whatever his name is.
Oh.
He's taking the Jets to lose like 52-7.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
That guy's a crack. Hey, give it a break. You're a Jets fan? I mean, at least pipe dream a little bit.
Yeah.
Come up with some kind of scenario that has the Jets winning. I've never went into a game where I said, you know what? I think the Jets are going to lose 52-7 today. Red Wings lose 8-0 tonight. What do you think?
Well, maybe with Biron's in goal, you say that.
Canadian crap. Even when they play from Montreal, in Montreal, when they never win. And I said, you know what? It was 9-0 tonight. It's going to be a I'm saying there's crazy fans on both sides. No doubt about it. I'm just giving you how I kind of snuff out some Giant fans that you see. And there's Jet fans who have not a leg to stand on, that haven't won shit, and who haven't, you know, done anything since I was 4 years old, you know, which was back in the Stone Age.
You that, had the virus.
Yeah, I had the virus, exactly. That, you know, have to defend, you know, subpar football, and I don't know how they defend it, but, you know, it's irrational. It's irrational behavior on both parts.
This was Eddie after Super Bowl III.
I got the virus. I got the virus.
That's actually me at age 4 saying, I got the virus.
I go to the bathroom a lot.
The first.
Right across to the Hong Kong Gardens.
Actually, it's the Hong Kong Gardens, please. It's pretty
758 Chauncey Street.
Now, when the King says Giants fan care less about what the Jets do, give me a break. You know, let's talk turkey. Let's bring it down to street level. Now, I don't know about Jim, because Jim is I hold him in such high regard, there's nothing bad I can say about the man. But, you know, once the Giants have secured that 1 o'clock victory and the Jets are up at 4, isn't a part of you that's saying, I hope the Jets lose. I hope the Jets get crushed because the Giants have already won. And now I get to pounce on all my Jet fan friends. I believe that, now, listen, maybe I'm a little bit cynical. Maybe that's the way I think. Who knows? But I think it's certainly a condition with some of the younger Giant fans. I wouldn't say with the older guys who've been through the wars, but people are waiting to pounce.
When the Giants win, I just want to see the Eagles and Dallas lose. That's my main concerns.
Right. Well, because you're thinking rationally, but a lot of these people, they can't wait. Now, I don't know what the reaction was, though, on the Twitters and the other stuff about Revis going down, but I'm sure there's somewhere some Giant fan going, yeah, suck it, Rex.
No, I didn't see much of that. But, you know, Revis is out. Yeah, he's their best player, but the Jets will be fine without Revis. As long as they can continue to rely on that explosive running attack, the superb quarterback tandem that they have, and the all-around explosive offense. They'll get over Revis. They're going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cut down on mistakes.
Are you working with Jets PR now?
Because Jets Confidential. All right.
Jets Confidential.
I'm working with that guy with Bart Scott.
Oh, yeah, right.
Jets Confidential.
That team, I'm going to tell you right now, that team, I just think mentally and in the locker room and the players they have there cannot get the job done. Off the field, on the field. The only thing, and I say, and this is something I would not have said before the season, is they've got to make the switch to Tebow. Because, I mean, listen, Sanchez, I give him one more game, maybe a game and a half to straighten his freaking act out. But against the 49ers, it isn't going to be a freaking... They need to kind of come in with some kind of wild card that the other team cannot discern, because right now they're so predictable, and their wide receivers cannot get any kind of separation other than Santonio Holmes, who's begging for a penalty on every play. It's going to be a long season. They got to be gadgety, because frankly, Sean Green up the middle for the gain of 2 is not working. So the Jets are in dire trouble right now. thank God they still get to play the Bills, and I know they the Bills again. I think C.J. Spiller is actually going to play. Might not be out, but the Dolphins, they play the Dolphins again. You know, they got a chance to get a couple victories, but it's going to be a long season, I think, now. They don't look so good on defense either. They did manage to get a little bit of a pass rush at the end of the game, the Dolphin game, but it's the Dolphins. And this week, the 49ers, I'm predicting that the Jets are going to lose 72-4.
Well, I mean, they gave up, what, 180 yards to the Dolphins on the ground, and that was most of the game without Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
Right?
Their run defense has stunk all year.
So? They got the best defensive coach in football. Just ask him.
He doesn't have the personnel.
It's the personnel. It took 4 years to build the personnel. What's he waiting for?
He had the personnel. Personnel's gone.
Revis?
Yeah, that's one of them. And Cromartie, I think, he's not as good as people think. Half the time, he's not turned around for the football.
All that testosterone he's spreading all those women. He's got nothing left.
Yeah, stop procreating and make some plays.
Save some of it.
Save some of that juice.
Women weaken legs. Didn't you listen to Mickey Goldbill?
I'm just getting, you know, I see Bella Bell's here. Let me tell you something.
Here it comes.
Jet Giants Stadium. All right? There's no Giant Stadium anymore. They blew that piece of crap up. I would certainly agree with you if you said the Jets are playing in Giant Stadium now. If that was the old building, the old stadium. And it certainly would have been. It annoyed me that the Jets played in Giant Stadium.
Annoyed me,
too. Right? For both sides. So, we have moved on. And as I pointed out on the intranets during the week, I didn't see any Giant wins in the postseason in Giant Stadium. As a matter of fact, the Giants went 500 in Jet Life Stadium. As a matter of fact, the Giants went, they beat the Jets at Jet Life Stadium. I know, that's the biggest victory in the world.
Excuse me, they beat Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs. You know that round of games that comes after the regular season for some teams?
We've been there a couple times, recent memory.
Richard Todd?
You beat Atlanta. They just went to the AFC title game a couple times. I say you forget about that. Because you didn't win the Super Bowl, that means that a
ball. Yeah, I know. They went to the AFC Championship twice and lost both games. But the Jets haven't let us forget it. We went to two AFC Championship games 3 years ago. Look at us. We were the third best team in the AFC 2 years ago. Look at us. Or second best team.
It's an achievement when you're doing it with a rookie quarterback and a rookie coach. You can beat me all you want. When you go from a team that doesn't do squat to actually getting one game away from the Super Bowl, two out of its first 3 years, that's an accomplishment. You can diminish that all you want. I mean, you guys won the grand prize of it all. You won the Super Bowl. But as I was saying, the Jets were 6-2 at Jet Life Stadium that season. So until the Giants prove to me that they are a good home team, it will remain Jet Life Stadium. Then I will call it MetLife. So please stop.
Cutter, you're looking at the. I don't know where you're getting that URL you're sending me, but try this one. That's the one I give out, and that's the one that works.
Yeah. You want to discount every. I mean, everybody wants to discount the Jets' progress.
I'm not discounting anything. They went to two AFC championship games 3 years ago. Is it the natural progression once you get to the championship game? Where was the progress from that? They didn't make the playoffs the year after. And they're 2-1 this year again.
I don't know.
Going anywhere. So where's the progress? This guy's the greatest coach in the history of football. Just ask
I never
him.
Said that. I'm not saying it.
You. I'm saying this is what this man tells people. He is the greatest coach in football.
Never,
I am the best defensive coach in football.
You're outrageous.
You want me to find the article where he called himself the best defensive coach in football?
I didn't say you said the best coach in football.
Well, I added that on. That's embellishment. But he did call himself the best defensive coach in football. Where's the progress?
Listen, you cannot. What do you want? I think you know the difference between 7-9 and 9-7, which got the Giants into the Super Bowl, and it's so minimal. It's infinitesimal. It's hard to keep the same teams together. It's hard to keep it. They lost a lot of guys last year. They lost Damian Woody. They lost a lot of guys off that offensive line. You had the strike, lockout, or whatever. I think it hindered the Jets' progress in what they were looking to get. And then they focused on one player, and they didn't wind up getting him. Listen, I'm not here to make excuses, but
no,
I'm also.
You
want me to explain why they were 7-9 last year? You know, I don't know. I mean, they weren't very good. They weren't very good. But
so
to make it. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
And you want to discredit, you know, I'm not saying that Rex Ryan is a great coach. I think he's got a lot of flaws. I think his main flaw is not what happens on the field. It's what happens off the field. He doesn't discipline his team. He doesn't. He's a player's coach, which is horrible. I think in that regard, he needs to be like Coughlin. But to say that this guy is a bad coach, and that just because 1 year you go 7-9 instead of going to the AFC, 3 years, I'm pretty happy with, you know, those 3 years as they stand. Now I'm not very happy because the team seems to be going backwards. And that has a lot to do with the Jets front office. I don't think it has a lot to do with the coach. The philosophy has got to change there. Instead of trying to grab headlines, is, you know, get good football players. Draft good football players. Don't be trying to get Tebow to make the headlines and all this other crap. Keep your eye on the prize. That's all I'm saying. So, are you mad at me now?
No, I'm not mad.
You're all mad because I played that cuckoo sound.
I'm not mad at all. I'm just asking. I'm asking a question. When they go to the AFC Championship game, it's all because of Rex Ryan. When they don't win, it's the GM's fault. It's because he's not drafting enough talent. So I don't know.
I think it's not the draft. It's so much the targeting of free agents and filling in the holes and letting things kind of I really think they gave too much money to some players when they should have not given that much money and gotten filled holes. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. And you have to understand, the bar for Jet fans isn't too high. We'll take a coach with a 700 winning percentage. Just, you know, frankly, that's probably, you know, like I said, it's tied for first ever in franchise history. But I understand the malice and the hatred for Rex Ryan. I'd hate him too if I was on the other side.
I don't hate him. I just think
Let's face it.
What?
You sports hate him. I mean, you don't really hate him. I hate Sidney Crosby. I don't wish anything bad to happen to him.
Oh, well, I do. A few things. All right, you ready to go to the phones? Because you want to get out of here in 10 minutes. And we got two phone calls and the picks.
Okay.
Costa, what's up?
It's
what's going on, brother?
Let me get some Jet talk because I don't want to talk about the Giants. I want to talk about the Jets.
All right, go ahead.
Did you get the website for the picks?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Costa, go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say.
To me, I wouldn't mind if the Jets just tank the season and go for that quarterback, get that first pick in the draft, get that quarterback, I think it's from USC or something.
You're always big with the tanking. They're 2-1. How do you say we're going to tank now with 2-1?
You want him to go get another quarterback from USC?
Yeah. Let's go back to the place where we just got burnt.
While you're on your computer, why don't you Google Albert Einstein's definition of insanity?
Okay, skip that. Anyway.
All right, skip that idea.
He just threw his draft book out the window because of me.
I'm close to Sanchez to get the job done. Maybe he's a little shell-shocked.
He's just bad. He's got to get better.
Or he doesn't have the tools to win.
No, I think he does. I think the Jets have kind of put the handcuffs on him a little bit. I think the reason why he was successful his first 2 years when they went to those AFC championship games that we like to talk about, he was more of an improviser. They let him play his game. Now I think they've tried to rein him in and make him something he isn't. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's better than average.
I think he's okay, but his problem is he needs to have a running game to mix it up. That's when he's been the most effective. When Thomas Jones was there, they had success. They haven't had a running game now for a year, ever since Thomas Jones left. They can't run the ball. I'm sorry, Sean Green is bad. He's not good. He's not good.
Yeah, Sean Green is not that good. He's a number two running back on most teams. Maybe three.
Right. And in most teams
five
have,
the Giants.
Yeah, really. After the and most teams have a solid number one and a number two that comes out of the backfield on third down. It's just so you have a guy for first down.
I understand why don't they put what's his name in running back? Put Tebow on running back.
Well,
might have to put him at cornerback.
He's certainly not working out as a wide receiver. You see that pass? That was horrible. That's another thing. Either put Tebow in the backfield or nothing. I don't want to see him in any other position except for fake punts. Offense, stay off the field unless you're behind the center. That's what I believe.
I know we're only going into week four, but you have sort of a wish list of what we need, what the Jets need going into the off season. I know it's only week four.
I don't have enough time on this show or in my life to tell you what the Jets need. Now, the Jets need to gut a lot of this, I call it rot, that is in their personnel. One first time to Antonio Holmes.
Yeah, get that bum off that fucking team.
He's something I can't say
on the air. Okay?
No, he's a bum. I don't care how many plays he's going to get.
I'll leave it at that.
You've got to come up. That offensive line has got to be physical. The Jets are not physical. They're not physical on both sides of the ball. You've got to be physical in this league. I don't know. We'll be here all day. The Jets need a whole revamp.
Overhaul.
I really think so. But, hey, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the Jets will somehow get it together. I mean, that's the only hope you have, that they're just off on the wrong foot and they can get it together and make some adjustments. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, I saw Arizona in the preseason. They looked horrible. They were terrible. And now they're 3-0. Who could tell? And they got a good defense, though. That's their bread and butter. But the Jets aren't very good at anything right now.
I'll tell you. You know what? I'm just looking at the Jets' schedule. Doesn't get a whole lot easier after the 49ers.
That's saying a lot, too.
Texans, Colts, Patriots, then they got the Dolphins again, then the Seahawks, and I think that game's in Seattle. Then they go to St. Louis to play the Rams. They got to play the Cardinals. Jets got a tough schedule. I didn't realize their schedule was this tough. No pushovers on their schedule.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Colts, I could see maybe them. Any team that can't put up a lot of points, they'll be in, I think. But if you got an offense, like you said, they haven't been able to stop the run. So if you can't stop that, you know, it takes the whole dynamic of the Jets team, which is possession and defense, and they can't do either. When they play teams like that, and you can't stop them on. All right, we got another call, Coast. We're going to get to it quick. All right, my friend?
All right, Doodles.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One good thing about when the Colts play the Jets, it'll give Joe a chance to tell the story.
Oh, God.
I believe this is Adam. Adam, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How we doing?
Good. What's up?
Good.
Good, good. I will go ahead and make one giant point. I would like to thank Andre Brown for getting me 25 fantasy points this week. All right, now with that out of the way.
Happy to oblige.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was downtown right near Wrigley Field watching this Jets game. We had about 80 or 90 Jets fans in this bar, and this bar needs to be handing out Zantac to us if we're going to keep going and watching these games. It's just ridiculous. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know, but a couple things that need to change. One, I want to see more 4-3 defense, which we saw in the preseason, because they're not stopping the run and they're not generating a pass rush. And if they're not going to have Revis, then we need to come up with some sort of way to get to the quarterback. And the Giants have proven that. You get a pass rush, you don't need a great secondary.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Excuse me. I mean, you know, it's that's really what came on for the Giants last year. I mean, Jim, wouldn't you agree that during their playoff push and their Super Bowl win, it came because they were able to get to the quarterback?
Absolutely.
And we're seeing Quentin Coble. I'm not saying Quentin Coble is going to be a great player, but he only played 12 snaps. Give him a shot. Aaron Maven only played 12 snaps, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but give him a shot. You know, we know what the Calvin Paces and the Mike DeVitos are. They are what they are, but they're not, you know, they're not really pass rushers. Pace isn't really a pass rusher at this point. You know, we may not know what we have with these guys, but here's the bottom line. If they can't get to the quarterback, the secondary will get burned the rest of the year.
And it goes for a lot of, you know, it goes for most teams if you can't get a pass rush. In this day and age, you've got to be able to sack the quarterback. I mean, last night they sacked freaking Aaron Rodgers 8 times, the Seahawks. I mean, the Jets may not see 8 sacks in the first 5 games. You're right. And, you know, listen, maybe it's time for somebody to step up, you know, but you don't know, you know. It's tough, you know. I saw you dropped your predictions, Adam, once Revis went out. As far as the Jets season, and most of us have kind of
I really thought, believe it or not, I really thought before the season began, this team could win 10 games. You know, I really felt that with the NFC West on the schedule. I really felt they could do it. You know, a lot of people acted like the Jets won 4 games last year after the season ended. But without Revis, I think 7-9 is realistic. Put it this way, we've talked a lot about Rex Ryan tonight, and I'm an ardent Rex Ryan supporter. I make no apologies. Nobody has made me more excited to be a Jets fan than he has. But with this lack of talent, how many Pro Bowl players are on this team? Like Mangold, Harris, you know, a couple of offensive linemen who are getting up there. With this roster, you know, what is Rex going to do with them, and what can this coaching staff do with them, and what would be a good job?
Is
500 good now? Is it, I mean, is 500 acceptable without Revis for 13 games? you know?
Might have to be.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to look towards that. I mean, unless something significantly changes, you know, I think it's a nail on the head. I just don't think the Jets have the personnel to sustain this kind of. They didn't have it. I believed in the beginning. Like, you know, your prediction is a little bit higher than mine. Mine was 8-8.
Right.
You know, so you know, it's. I just don't think they have the horses. But you never know in the NFL. You know, there are worse teams out there, it would appear, at times. And, you know, you look at the Chiefs who, you know, pulled up off a win, but they look terrible the first 2 weeks. You know, the Raiders don't really impress me. I think just before I go, and I'll make my picks on the website, but I've got to head out. But I wanted to say that one of the things that I think this week with the Giants is – you know, like Philadelphia to me is kind of an overrated team. I know they lost last week, but I really thought their first two victories, they really didn't deserve them. I think the Giants are going to do very well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pick the Giants with my pick, Jim. I am going to take the Giants, getting two from Philadelphia. You know, I might as well just make my picks while I'm here, right before I go. I'm going.
All right, Adam, we're going to let you go real quick. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Take it easy.
Good.
All right, there's the music. Eddie, go ahead and do your picks real quick. I'll do mine.
I'm going to take the Giants, like I said, getting two from Philly. I like Tennessee getting 12 from Houston. And I cannot pick it. Jets. But every bone in my body says do it, but I can't because it is at Jet Life Stadium. I will go with. Oh boy. I like this music. It's got me so enthralled.
NFL Films.
I'm going to take Chicago getting 4 at Dallas.
Oh, that's the Monday night game. Oh, okay.
Monday night.
All right, so there you have it. Eddie's got the Giants laying 2, Tennessee plus, oh no, excuse me, the Giants plus 2, Tennessee plus 12, Chicago plus 4. He's back to all underdogs after the favorites
that's
let him down
smart.
Last week. All right, you gonna go? Or are you going to stick around for my picks? Oh, there he goes. That answers that question. All right, so let's see. He took the Giants, he took Tennessee, he took Chicago. I'm done picking the Jets after 2 weeks in a row and not winning. I'm going to take the 49ers laying 4. I am going to take, who else did I see here that I wanted to pick this week? He took Houston. So I will take, what was the other game I saw that stuck out to me? He took Houston. What the hell was it? I took San Francisco. Oh, I'm going to take Seattle, give it 2.5, and I'm going to take Tampa Bay, given 3 over Washington. And there you have it. Those are my picks. San Francisco laying 4, Seattle laying 2.5, Tampa Bay laying 3. We will see you guys next Tuesday night. Thank you so much for being here, and have a great week.